where God starts on the church. Tonight we're teaching on the church and just explaining some doctrine in the church itself. And I've probably got, if you include individual verses, like we got Matthew 16, 13 through 19, I probably got 80 verses. We're not going to get to all of them. There's no way. But we'll get to a decent amount. And there's a lot of them that are on the same point and just saying the same thing. But I want to talk to you about the church tonight, help you understand the church a little bit, what it is, and or the churches, maybe more properly said, Matthew 16. And we're going to get some more doctrinal things. So it'll be a little heavier. You might want to take notes, or you might want to write the verses down so you don't have to turn to every single one. I'm very comfortable in teaching mode, as you know. Teaching the Bible is my thing, and I'm very comfortable doing it, but sometimes there's a lot, and I cover a lot of stuff, and I talk fast, and so you get more in a shorter period of time, but you also I got to keep up or just listen along. Matthew 16, and this is where the church really starts, and where it's introduced. Verse 13, then Philip saith unto Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and others the prophets. And he said to them, But whom say ye that I am? I like the pointedness of that. That it's you individually, what you believe, not necessarily who the people you're around or what church you go to. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou hast loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so there's the introduction of the church, or churches, a subject of church here. It's early here in Matthew 16. And so he talks about the church and what it is. And I'm not going to, I taught on this passage. This passage deserves a whole length of time taught on to understand the church. I am not going that direction tonight. The Bible's got a lot of stuff in it. And we're just going to touch on this, then we'll jump forward a little bit. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump in. Father, thank you for the Spirit of God that can rightly divide the Word. And Lord, we got a couple subjects that look like the same subject, Lord, and I pray that your Spirit would help us understand the church. I pray that we would not just understand the doctrine, which is important and where we're focusing tonight, but also the practicality of it, Lord, and that you would help us. I pray that the Word of God would be clear. I pray that you leading God us into all truth. I pray that we would rightly divide the Word, and the Word would be clear to us, and we would see what you say in the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, Jesus says, you're Peter, upon this rock. We talked about remember the foundation message, where the foundation doesn't mean you're the, Pope, but what the foundations are, and that the apostles' names are written in the foundation of heaven and such. And Christ says, I will build my church. The church, first of all, belongs to Christ, whatever the church is. Now, let me take it to Matthew 18. God builds that church. It's his job. And that's what we believe in. And let him do his job. Our job's a great commission, basically, and his job is building the church. Matthew 18, he continues with the church and talks about that. And Matthew 18 and verse 15, Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. This is verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Okay? So, I think we just went to two different churches, okay? Matthew 16, I believe, is what we're going to call the universal church. Some people call it the true church. I don't like the name true church because the local church is also the true church. But there's what we're going to call the universal church, which is all believers. God said, I will build my church. There isn't one church that God built that has been the church for all time, and the gates of hell never prevailed against it. There's no local church that has lasted the entire time. Okay? The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But this church here in Matthew 18 is obviously a local church. If somebody is offended, you take people with you, and then you bring them before the church. Okay? Be hard for every single person to do that, to bring them to a church, one individual church. And verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall be bound in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose in earth shall be loose in heaven. You bring him to the church, and let him be as a heathen man and a publican. And I say unto you that if two of you, verse 19, shall agree on earth as touching anything, if they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now here's the definition. For two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So there's this local church, obviously, that is a small group that has a great authority. Okay? And the church in Matthew 16, the keys of the kingdom are given to it, but there's not one church that the keys of the kingdom are given to. There's not one church that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Unfortunately, even the church of Jerusalem, the first church started there, doesn't exist anymore. The gates of hell prevailed against it. It's not talking about a local church. But here we see, obviously, there's a great authority in a local church. One is universal and one is local. Now, this is Open Door Baptist Church, obviously. And Baptists are a little different on the church than most Christians are. And there's a set of distinctives that are Baptist distinctives. It used to be more distinctive for Baptists, but actually most of the Christians in America, many of the mainstream Christians in America have come over to the Baptist point of view on most of those things. For example, the first thing, Baptist is an acronym, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, we use it that way, and you can see what they believe. First of all, is be biblical authority. A Baptist believes that the Bible is the only authority, and there's no other authority, there's no headquarters, no anything else. And so Baptists, they believe several things, but they believe A is autonomy of the local church. Okay, what that means is they believe that a local church is autonomous, which means it is independent, it has no authority over it. That church, Christ is the head of that individual church. And so there's nothing else over it. That's Baptist doctrine. Now, a lot of Christians now believe in biblical authority. Now they also believe, but traditionally a lot of churches didn't. That's why they have denominations and that were so strong, and that's why they have other authorities and other books and other things they look to and things like that. Well, the problem is, Baptists, if you follow Baptist doctrine, it's always been there. And I'm not going to give a history lesson to take too long. They weren't always called Baptists, though. They were called Waldensians and Hussites and many other things you can look historically and see. A group of people who believed in a set of doctrines, which was salvation by grace through faith, baptism after salvation, the biblical authority, the autonomy of the local church. They believed in those things. And the biggest thing that did is got them in trouble with the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church killed Baptists for a very long time. And I say all that to say this. other Christians came to those knowledges, and then they got persecuted also by the Catholic Church. But Baptists, I think, became a little reactionary because they said, we believe there's only one head of the church, that's Christ. We don't have to obey the Pope. The Bible says this, and we believe the Bible, not what the Vatican's teaching. And because they said that, and they were killed for it, I think they became overreactive because Baptists traditionally don't believe in a universal church. They believe in only the local church. They do not believe that all believers are part of a church. Okay, that is not Baptist doctrine. I, however, am a Christian first and believe what the Bible says. And there's no way you can look at the Bible and not say that we are all part of one body and one church. I just gave you reasons in Matthew 16 why that's not a local church. And there's many things. We'll get to many things there. So there is a universal church and there is a local church. And let me just give you a few points and really dwell on a couple things. Number one, the church is a called out assembly, okay? The word church in the Bible comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And the word ekklesia, the word, one word means out of and one word means called and assemble. And so it basically means it's a church is a called out assembly. It's what it's two words put together. It means called out and assemble. And so a church is a called out assembly. What does that mean? There's assemblies all the time, they're not called out. A mob is not a called out assembly. It's just a group of people. But Congress calls an assembly. It's a certain group of people. It's called out independently doing a certain thing. A church is a called out assembly, called out by God and assembled. And God says, when you do that and you do it my way, and you, according to the scriptures, I gather with you. There's a bunch of things happen when a church becomes a church. And again, I'm not teaching everything about the church, but you find out that he walks in the midst of the church, Revelation 1. He gives an authority to the church here. It says, I'm in the midst of them. You can bind things in heaven. If you bind something on earth in your church, it's also bound in heaven. In other words, you make this, you say, this is what, this person is now a heathen, and they're out of fellowship with God. That's done in heaven. Okay, there are many things that a local church is given that authority. And by the way, we're anti-authority in America. And when I just said that what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and if you make someone a heathen, well, that's what the church did, but that's not what God did. You're not understanding. The Bible just said that. Okay, and we don't like the authority of a church because we're anti-authority, and we say no, churches aren't anything special. It's not. They are. It just said that real strongly. Bob and Joe can't get together and have that kind of authority. Okay, it's not just my own thing and I'll worship God at home. There's an authority and a bunch of promises that go to the local church. God has messages for local churches. God has authority to local churches. And there's a bunch of things. It's a called out assembly. We should be, as a church, called out. 1 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Okay? Christians are supposed to be separated from the world. And a church is supposed to be different. Called out. And so a church is a called out assembly. That's what the word means, no matter what it's referring to. Well, you say, how can there be a universal church? They don't assemble. We assemble at the rapture. You say, well, it can't be a church then if it's not assembling all the time. Hey, Open Door Baptist Church is still a church on Tuesday afternoon. We're just not assembled right then. But we go apart and come back together and go apart and come back together. And we come Sunday morning and Sunday night, the good Christians, and Thursday night. And we do those things and we assemble. And so that's what a church does. You're still a family when you're not together, right? Amen. You understand? The husband went to work. Oh, no, we're not a family anymore. No, you're still a family. Okay, you're just not assembled right now. And the universal church will be a family and we'll be assembled in heaven, all the saved people, at the rapture. And for a long time, we'll have a long church service forever. And so the church is a called out assembly. Number two, there is a local church and universal church. Which one is it talking about? How will I know which one it is? It's really obvious. The best commentary in the Bible is the Bible. Okay? When you read the Bible, you're going to know when you read it which one it is. Let's just show you. Let's look at, let's go to Ephesians. We've got a lot of verses for each here. And just show you that the Bible talks about both of them a whole bunch. Ephesians in chapter 1. And again, you don't have to turn to every passage if you don't want to. I'm going to read a lot of passages. Take it back. Go one book back from Ephesians. Go to Galatians 1. We'll go to Ephesians in a second. All right, let's see if you can figure out. Ready? I'll ask you in a sec. Don't shout it out. Ready? Galatians 1 and verse 2. It says, unto all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches in Galatia, of Galatia. All right? Do you think that's a universal church or local churches? Local. Pretty easy, isn't it? The churches in Galatia. Those are local churches. Okay? Pretty simple. All right? Let's look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past of the Jews' religion, Paul speaking, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Universal or local? Universal. Let's see how smart you are. You got to figure it out already. He didn't persecute one church. He persecuted all the churches. And he says he did that. So he's not talking about a church. There wasn't the church of God. And that was the one church. And he persecuted that one church. He was talking about Christians in general. You see how simple it is? It just, you can look by the context. You can look what it says. Now, there are certain phrases that go along with the universal church sometimes. The church, the firstborn. Okay, other phrases, and we'll read those verses. So, let me just show you universal church verses. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll show you universal church verses. And again, I'm not going to show you all the verses. We go all over Revelation 2 and 3 to show you local churches. But we won't do that. Ephesians 1. I'm just going to show you what the universal church is. And And where it is, Ephesians 1 verse 22, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave them to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You can see that's not a local church. That's it's universal. Chapter 3 and verse, and universal church is pretty big in the book of Ephesians, by the way. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The English, if I was going to say, I want all the churches to know the manifold wisdom of God, but he says the church, singular. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. What church should he have glory in? In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Singular. Which church is it? Which, oh no, I'm not part of the church that Jesus loved and gave himself for it. Jesus didn't die for an organization. But in a way he did, because we'll get to that a little later. But understand that that Christ and the bride of Christ, how do we know that? Because the Bible says, Revelation 21, the church is the bride of Christ. It's all believers assembled together in heaven. It shows that, Revelation 21 very clearly, and he gave himself for that bride, okay? And so we see that's universal church. Verse 29, for no man ever hated his own, that's the one, hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, singular. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, back a little bit there. And verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And one more verse. Let's see. Hebrews 12. And then we'll go to the local church. Hebrews 12. And this is a real, real clear verse. Hebrews 12. And start at verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Okay, it's pretty clear here. And to God, the judge, and of all, and to many spirits that have just been made perfect. So, you see, are you with me? See the universal church there? It's pretty clear. It's the church of the firstborn. It's assembled in heaven. It's not an earthly physical. It's not. If it was one church, it'd be ours, but it's not. So we see that. All right, let's look at the local church. We read Galatians 1, the church is assembled there. We read Matthew 18:17, where it said, take him to the church and take one or two for the church, and then take him before the church. So we see, obviously, that's local. Let's look at Romans 16. I got a lot of verses, and I don't want to repeat if we can avoid it. If you just remember what we read, then we'll just refer back to it. Romans 16, in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Okay, local or universal? Local, it's in a house. And by the way, a church is not a building. We refer to a church as a building, don't we? I'll meet you at the church. Well, I'll say that, and I'll say, hey, I'll meet you over at the church. We understand we're saying that the church can be anywhere. Thursday night, the church will move to my backyard, okay? And it'll be in the middle of a yard. And churches have been in catacombs, and right now churches are in houses, and churches are hiding, and churches are in big public places. It's not a building. It's an assembly, a called-out assembly of believers. And we see that. Let's see. We're right near there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, under them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. Okay, local church, the church at Corinth. Okay, pretty simple. Revelation 2, when it says, under the angel of the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Laodicea, Philadelphia. It's specific churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let's take one more verse, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a little different because it's going to tie the two together. And verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock. Okay? Universal or local? Let's read that again. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. That's the over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Right there, we're talking local churches. Many pastors over many churches. Okay? Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. He just said to the elders, plural, over the churches over which he's made you overseers, plural, to feed the church of God, singular. You see it? Okay. We got both right here. Okay. Real clear. Okay. Over which to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Did he purchase the local church with his own blood? Not in that sense. He purchased every believer, and the believers become local bodies. But see here, so if I'm meeting with the pastors in Haiti, and I'm preaching to these couple hundred pastors, and I say, okay, guys, when you go back to your church, make sure you feed the church of God. I'm talking to them individually to their churches, yet I'm referring to all the believers. Okay? Because, and here's what you have to understand, and here's where a lot of believers miss. I said I believe that Baptists overreacted to the Catholic Church is also called the Universal Church. I don't believe in the Catholic Church being the Universal Church. Okay? Christ is the head of the church, not the Pope. Okay? I believe in the priesthood of the believers. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man. You don't need to go to the church to get to God. Okay? They're right about that. The Baptist doctrine is right about that, but you don't need to go so far to say there's no universal church. That's all born-again believers. It's not something in Rome. It's on earth. It's not anything on earth. It's in heaven. That's what it said in Hebrews 12. The church is the firstborn. I do not, let me make that very clear, I do not believe in a universal church on earth. I believe the Word of God is the authority, the Spirit of God, and Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The head of Open Door Baptist Church is not a denomination or anybody anywhere. The head of Open Door Baptist Church is not me. The head of this church is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? We don't believe in a universal church on earth. We believe it's assembled in heaven. Amen. Okay? That's what God says. Now, let me give you some points since we finish up with this in Hebrew in Acts 20:28, because that's an important verse. It ties them together. The local church is the local visible manifestation of the universal church. Okay? There is going to be up there in heaven, and there's partly right now, the church is partly assembled. Those who have died already are a church in heaven. Okay? They're a called out assembly. They're called, and we'll join them and join the church someday, and we'll be up in heaven. That is the church, the firstborn, okay? But on earth, there is no manifestation. There's no, I want to say, understand this, because boy, I've gotten some Baptist brethren mad at me who says, no, there's no universal church. They say, how can you say that? You're not a Catholic. I said, stop. God does everything he does through local churches. It's vital you understand that. Yeah. He does nothing through a universal church. Yeah. Okay? Churches can work together, but there's no headquarters. There's no authority in a universal church. And I'm going to show you a bunch of stuff because the most important thing I'll say tonight is a local church is God's tool to do all of his work on earth. A local church. And God is big, 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 big into local churches. Christians in America are not big, big, big in local churches, but God is. And they're messed up because of that, by the way. There's a whole bunch of systems that God put in place that are underneath a local church. Christians don't put themselves underneath a local church that God puts them into, and they do not have all of those blessings from God that meets with them and helps them and completes them. Everything from, if any of you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. That says go to local church to do that. There's so many things that the local church is supposed to do, but if you don't understand that, I'm just part of the church. We're all part of the church. We can just go to church whenever, wherever, with whoever. No. Yes, there's a universal church up in heaven, but you ain't there. And it doesn't do anything on earth. The local church is God's tool, and we read that. Okay? And we'll see that many more times. The local church is just a local manifestation. We can't have one church service to every believer in the world. okay? And who's going to preach? But who's going to preach? Who's going to? All right, guys, we decided this week church is going to be in London. Meet you there. Next week's Mexico City. The week after that, we're going to Johannesburg. What's it? Can we do it in the Bahamas next week? Listen, it would be, we meet in local, and it's the visible. Number two, the Lord uses and gives authority to the local church. We read Matthew 18. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. The Lord uses and gives authority to the local church. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I'm not going to skip Matthew 18. We're going to first. We already read it. 1 Corinthians 5. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The man was committing terrible adultery. And let me read to you verse 4. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the local church has that power. Where two or more gathered in the midst of them. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay? The church has the authority to take a Christian and say, you're out of the church. You're removed from the local church. And now you do not have the protection of God on you. You're a heathen. And now Satan can have at you freely. That means if you're part of a local church, you have a protection. But when the church removes you and disciplines you because you're out of line and you won't repent, you are now removed. The church has authority to turn you over to Satan. You say, well, I'll just serve God anyway. God didn't design it that way. You can't. You will not be protected. God says, okay, it's been bound on earth. It's bound in heaven. You're Satan, have at him. I'm not going to stop you. In order to bring him back to God. That is the authority of a local church. That's what it says, right? Amen? That's what it says. You turn them over to Satan. And can you believe some Christians won't be part of a local church? Whoa, you're in trouble. No wonder you're devoured all the time. No wonder the only person who thinks you're spiritual is you. By the way, the people who don't go to church, they don't need to go to church. The only people who think they're spiritual is them. Seen that a whole bunch. Run it all the time, outdoor knocking. And you see that. The Lord gives authority to the local church. Next, our participation is in the local church. Let's look at Acts 4. Acts 4 is a good chapter about this. Acts chapter 4. Your participation is in a local church. And by the way, I always love these TV preachers, and not all of them, but I love the TV preachers who say, you can just go to church at home and watch me. It's unbiblical, first of all. And why do they, if they say, well, it's just we're all part of the universal church, then why don't they go to the invisible church for their offerings? They like the visible church and the visible money. But we can be in spirit. Listen, when a widow can't go to church, the Bible says the church is supposed to go to them. Okay? And the sad thing is the church has failed in that, so they sit at home and watch the TV preachers, and two out of three of them are cuckooville, and they get bad doctrine. They don't get fed. And the one out of three of them is good, and by the way, there are good ministries who will tell you, do not send us your tithe. That goes to your local church. Biblically, it does. Okay? There are many ministries. CLA will send your money back if they find out your tithe. They won't take it. And there's other good ministries that do that. And I've heard James Dobson say, you know, do not send us your tithe. That's for your local church. And there's ministries that will do that. Because God uses and gives your participation through your local church. Acts 4, and this is an important chapter, so maybe you'll mark that and stay there. We'll look at a couple things, points here. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. The local church shared everything. That's a local church, you see. You follow me? And with great power gave the resurrection witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great graces upon them all. Neither was there any of them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution is made unto every man according as he had need. Do you see how local church that is? They didn't even give to each other. This guy over here needs food. I sold my house. Let me come and give it to the church, and the church will give it to you. That's the Bible pattern. Same thing in Acts chapter 2. And by the way, we've always told you that. Don't just give money to people in church. Okay? Ask me first. I may know something you don't know about that person. I may know what they shouldn't. You don't give cash to everybody, even the people at Open Door. We have some people who have some struggles. Okay? Trust me, I just know the situation. I may say, fine, give them the money or whatever, but the biblical pattern is give it to the church, and the church discerns and distributes it. That's how you participate in a local church. By the way, don't give your money to some charity. I just want to say this. Biblically, your tithe goes to the church, but you will not find a more effective thing to help people around the world than this church. I'm not saying all churches, but you know what? This church here is literally feeding people and changing lives and winning souls everywhere in the world. You won't find a better. We won't support somebody who's not a soul winner. Yet we also feed people and do many things. I'm not saying we're the only thing you can give to. If you find something godly and awesome to give to, we send things out to many ministries. I'm just saying you participate through your local church. That's the way they did it. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We could turn to Acts chapter 2, but let me turn to Acts 12. You participate and serve God through your local church. Now, it is nor in my notes. I'm not even addressing it tonight because of time. Again, I'm not hitting everything. Obviously, if the local church goes wrong, you follow the Bible. Okay? I'm going to make that real clear, really obvious. If the church preaches something wrong, tries to get you to do something wrong, something immoral, something biblical, you follow the word of God, not the local church. Okay? It's not in the lesson tonight, but I just want to make that real clear. We ought to obey God rather than man. We understand that. However, we do serve the Lord, the local church. Acts 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Okay? I believe this is a local church because he goes to where they're assembled and they're praying together and finds them praying for him. Now, why? They're praying for their preacher. And it's you do these things. You pray for one another. You give to one another in your local church. You win souls. You bring your converts to church. Now understand, I'm on vacation. I'm in Boise. I don't know. I'm going soul winning. I find a church there. I understand that. And I usually when I go in an area, I'll get tracts from that church. And I'll always try to find somebody to give some tracts to or witness to. I understand that. But God gives you this big place, like you have a job where you work at. You have a church where you do your work for God, where you give, where you pray with one another. It's your participation in a local church. That's God's way. Are you with me? All right, am I giving you too many verses and you getting tired?
No, of course not.
Okay. We're awake? All right. I'm giving you a lot of information here, so I don't want to lose you here. Next. The local church is to teach and to learn doctrine. Oh, I got a lot of verses on this. I'm not going to read all the verses. I got too many verses. Acts chapter 2. We haven't done that yet, so let's do Acts 2. The local church is to teach and learn doctrine. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so they did that. And this, again, they sold their things, took them to church. They gave out all those things. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The local church is where they were learning their doctrine from. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We better read those verses. Again, I'm not giving you all the verses I've written down. I just put them in here just in case we get time. 2 Timothy. And chapter 3. Let's do chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge you therefore before God, talking to Timothy, a local pastor, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. So they're going to get preachers that that will tell them what they want to hear, but you preach the word to them right now with doctrine and help them to get doctrine. Let me take you back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15. 1 Timothy, let me just give you real clear context. He says, ordain elders in every city. Here's how I want you to set up a church. And Timothy, here's how you're a pastor of your church. Here's how to run the church. Set up deacons and do all these things. And he's telling him how to be a pastor. And then he says in verse 15, but if I tarry long, if I cannot get to you, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, local or universal. What do you think? That thou, if I tarry long, you oughtest know how to behave yourself in the house of God. It's local. That's his local church. And he says, you will know how to behave yourself there, which is the pillar and ground of truth, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Your local church is a manifestation of the universal church, but the church is the pillar and ground of truth. It's found there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we're seeing they're mixed together, but the authority and the participation is local. The participation and the doctrine and the learning are in a local church. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Now, so this old passage is talking about church. Could be both. But locally, God sends pastors, evangelists, and teachers that we can be established in doctrine. And so we see that. So the local church teaches you, you should learn. Remember, feed the church of God which is among you. Okay? So we see a local church is a place where doctrine is preached, where it's established, where it's set down. This is what the Bible says with what we're doing tonight. That's what a church does. People who just sit there and don't go to church usually become cuckoo. Why? Because God didn't ordain an individual to establish doctrine. Now, they can read their Bible. They can understand the truth of God. We have ran across people who read their Bible and said, the Bible says this. I'm not seeing this in church. They come to our church and say, wow, this is what I was looking for. But then they get completed with the whole counsel of God, with all the things that God sets up. Then they got somebody praying for them. And then there's all the advantages of the local church and all the things that God puts in the local church to complete them. Though they might have been a godly family, a godly person, learning and growing, they're not going to be complete because God puts us in churches for the perfecting of the saints. That's what it says there. And the biggest thing I want to say is this next point. All of this, if you want to know my outline, is one, the church is a called out assembly. Two, there is a local church and a universal church. Underneath that, I've got A, B, C, D, and E. The local church is the local visible manifestation of the universal church. The Lord uses and gives authority to the local church is B. C, our participation is in the local church. D, the local church is to teach and learn doctrine. E, believers are blessed corporately in their local church. Now, that's important. Believers are blessed corporately in their local church. Let's go to back to Acts 4. Here's what you got to understand. Please get this. This is so important. If you miss the rest of the message, get this here. We have these local churches. All local churches are not created or blessed equally. Hitch your wagon very carefully to a church. Because churches and the church's individuals, churches and the individuals in them are blessed or cursed corporately together by what they're hooked with. Okay, Acts chapter 4. And I could read it. I got so many verses here. Acts chapter 4. They began to pray with their local church, verse 23. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company, that's their church, reported all the priests and the elders had done unto them, and they heard that. They lifted their voices. They prayed together with one accord. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were, what's the next word? All filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God of boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, and one soul, Church of Jerusalem. There was only one church at the time, by the way. They were getting ready to start all the other new churches. Neither was there any of them that had aught of the things which we possess of his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Corporately blessed. Corporately blessed. We see these things. No wonder the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, we started that passage where it says, get that guy and kick him out and turn him over to Satan. The next few verses say this. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Your whole church is going to be leavened by that guy. And you're all one rotten apple. They don't get mad if you become a member of Open Door Baptist Church and all of a sudden I come and I say, hey, you're out of line here. I don't do that lightly. We have a lot of people with struggles, but I'm talking you're living in open rebellion against God. Hey, it'd be good for you to turn yourself around everything else, but don't also, we're a body together. If my finger gets gangrene, it'll affect the rest of my body. Right? Right? Okay, good. And so they're blessed corporately. Let's look at Revelation. Watch this. Lessons to churches. It names the churches. They're local churches. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, local or universal? Local. Saith these things who hold the seven stars in his right hand. Verse 2, I know thy works as a church, and thy labor and thy patience. You have borne, verse 3, have patience. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, the church. Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence art fallen, repent, do the first works. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. He says, you know what? The candlestick is a church. He says, I'm going to remove you from being a church. Revelation 1 says, this in the end of the chapter there, it says the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. The candlestick, a church is called a candlestick. God says you are a church. That means you have authority. That means you have power. That means I gather with you. All those promises, many, 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 many promises that only a local church has. He says, if you do not knock this off, I'm going to remove your candlestick. In other words, you are no longer a church. You're just a group of people. How many of you have been to a church that you went into that place and said, this is a church, but God is not here? It wasn't a church. It was an assembly, but not an ecclesia, not a called out assembly. Why? Because God said, I'm taking my church out of here. You are an assembly. You're a bunch of humans together, but I'm not walking in the midst of this. And guess what? If that happens to Open Door, we're all in trouble. Because we're nothing without God. So God says, I will, and by the way, there's lots of those churches now. They've rejected the Bible. They've rejected the deity of Christ. They've fought against God. They've a lot of morality. And God says, you have yourself a nice country club there. I'm going to hang around a church. The ones that I call a church. And so he does that. Because a church is blessed or cursed corporately. But there's so many verses we could read. Verse 9. I know thy works, that tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say which ye are of the Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Church of Smyrna, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil casts some of you into prison, you'll have tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Every single church here is going to be talked about. This is what you're going through as a church. If you do this, you're going to get these rewards. If you don't stop doing this, I'm going to curse you in this way. Why? Because a church is blessed or cursed corporately. You know how it is. Some days God just blessing, and he's working in our midst, and all of us are blessed. I felt that this morning. Everyone left just happy and joyful and excited and talking. Why? We were blessed. I mean, I'm sure there's always one person, well, I didn't learn anything. I know there's always those people. But, you know, they're not part of the body. They're not connected. And we'll get to that in a sec there. So believers are corporate, and we have that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. Kind of winding it down here a little bit. So be part of a church. Get all those blessings that come with being part of a church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we are made to drink of this into one spirit. Okay? So God kind of puts people together. Let me take Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. And then I just want to say a little bit about all Christians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So there's a church, and you see that it's the body, it's one body. Now, let me just talk about all Christians. You're baptized by the Spirit once you're saved in the body of Christ. That's the universal church, okay? That's by being saved. Just because they go to church doesn't mean they're part of the body of Christ. Okay? It's saved people. We're baptized into one body. Therefore, I try to get along and be kind to all Christians. Doesn't matter if they call themselves whatever. Doesn't matter if they're Nazarene or Presbyterian, Episcopal or whatever. If they're born again and follow the Bible, I try to get along with them. Now, having said that, I'm more conservative than all of them. We are, as a church, we're very conservative. We're on the street, we're witnessing the people, we believe in holiness, we preach the word of God very hard, we believe in righteousness and godliness and revival, and we believe that wickedness is bad and we shouldn't be sitting around watching TV for 4 hours a day, and we preach in all kinds of, and we stand strong, all the way down to modesty and women and all the other things the Bible still teaches that churches don't teach anymore. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. The truth be told, when we used to go witnessing 25 years ago, Christians used to say, that is so awesome. Christians should be doing that more. And we'd preach and we'd meet other Christians. They would go, man, I've always thought it should be like that. And they'd be excited about that. But that is not the truth anymore. The truth is that Christians who stand strong and who stick with what the Bible said, who do what every Christian did 40 and 50 and 60 years ago, are now getting to be very despised by other believers. You will find as much criticism come from other born-again Christians when you stand strong as you will from the unsaved. You'll have a Christian relative who's lukewarm and will preach at you all day long about you being too overboard. Now, I don't seek strife with them. They bring it. Why? Because I believe God's been tapping their heart and saying, you need to live more godly. And they've rejected it for worldliness. And so unless we are wrong, they are wrong. And I believe that's why we come under attack. If they read, if you go talk to a Methodist church who used to be the shouting Methodist who preached the word of God and had thousands of souls saved. Hey, you think I'm a hard preacher? You should have heard Wesley. Wesley would be kicked out of every Methodist church almost in America today. They would give him the boot. Martin Luther, if he preached in average Lutheran church in America, But what they used to believe, they don't believe anymore. And they know God is still holy. The Bible's still true. We still need to be doing the Great Commission, loving sinners and working in the harvest and all the things. However, they don't always want to get along with us. We still love them. We're still kind. I try to get along with them. If I find a worker, if I find a guy who's a Christian at work, they'll say, I'm Christian too. Awesome. Praise the Lord. What church you go to? I go to so-and-so Bible church. Man, that's great. How long have you been saved? I'm not going to talk to them about things that we're going to fight over. I'm not trying to convert them. Are you saved? You know for sure you're going to heaven? Yeah, I've been saved. I got saved July 14th, 1999. Awesome, man. That's great. I'll go on Monday. I'll send it work, and I'll talk to guys. I used to work with several guys who were Christians and lots of guys who weren't. And I talked to them. Man, what did your preacher preach on Sunday? Oh, man, he preached on, you know, that we should, you know, love our wives. Man, I got convicted. That's awesome, man. I know he had a 15-minute sermon. I'm not going to bring that up. So you should have heard my sermon. It was way better than his. I don't do that. It's true, but I'm trying. They're my brothers and sisters. I'm going to spend eternity with them. I'm going to try to get along with them. Now, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. And if they say, you don't have to do that. You can watch whatever you want. God doesn't care what you watch. God doesn't care about the outside at all. I'm going to say, he doesn't. Well, let me show you some verses about the outside. Yeah, I know the verse you're going to quote. Man, look at the outward appearance. God, look at the heart. You're quoting, talking about the size of David in 1 Samuel 14. Get context, man. What are you talking about? I'm not going to be afraid to preach the word of God. I'm not going to be afraid to stand for God. But I'm going to try to get along. Herein shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. John 13. So there are brothers and sisters. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a local church right here because that's what God works through. And we're going to be right. We're going to preach the devil out of you. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to say, thus saith the Lord. And we're going to be right here because that's all that matters is our local church to us. And we need to have revival and open door. Our mission is not to say, why is that church over there gone away from the Bible? Listen, I don't got time to straighten them out. Let's have revival and open door and change the world. Because we got a local church to work with. We got us. And you know what? Let's keep ourselves straight. And let's get God's power. And let's see what God can do. Because God used a local church. And God started with the church at Jerusalem and changed the world. And God started with a Fulton Street church and changed America. And God started with a Jonathan Edwards church in New England and changed America. And God started with Wesley and Whitfield. Just a couple guys. And changed the world. So let's just go and say, I got a church. Let's pray for each other. Let's participate. Let's give. Let's pray for each other. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The context of James 5, the verses before say, go to the elders of the church and then pray for you. It's in your local church. That's what a local church does. We will all be part of the universal church in heaven. Let's see. Let me take you to Acts 7. I'm going to show you just one interesting thing here. One other thing was called a church. Besides the universal church we're talking about and the local church, Acts chapter 7, and verse 38. Let me take it to 37. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, this was Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, and your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake in him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the light of the oracles given unto us. And interesting, God calls Israel coming out of Egypt a church. But that fits the description of a church, doesn't it? To call that assembly. So Israel was also called a church at that time. Now, we are going to be all part of one church of the rapture when we get to heaven. That'll be great. Let's see. We have not read... Revelation 21, and we'll finish up there. You can find this in Ephesians 5:25. So I think you got to be part of a church. Pick your church. Be a part of a good church. Bury your life into it. Raise your family into it. Participate. I do not think you can become a member of two churches. We're all baptized into a body. I think God blends you and puts you as a part, a vital part, a finger, an eye, a toe, an ear into a church. I think church hopping is not good. Again, church goes away with the Bible, forsakes the Bible, and denies the Word of God. Leave it, take off, find a Bible-preaching church. No problem. Churches are not inerrant. However, church. I don't like this. This preacher didn't say what I wanted him to say. The person over there didn't smile at me. Somebody sat in my favorite spot. Stop. You know what you are? You're a body part, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12. You're a finger who says, I don't like this body. I'm going to this body. Maybe that body doesn't need you. If God puts you in a body, you don't go, I'm going to this. Body parts, they go from body to body to body, don't do well. The other bodies might reject them. You might not need them. If God puts you in a body, you stay there until it absolutely violates Scripture for you to stay there. Because you're part of a body. God's put you in a body. Don't be a church hopper. It breaks the pastor's heart, by the way. Let alone people are relying on you, let alone. And these church hoppers, they go somewhere and people get encouraged by them. And all of a sudden, boom, they're gone again. And I just tell you, every pastor I know talks about, man, what? Those church hoppers, you know, they become so unstable in every area of their life. Or maybe they're church hoppers because they're unstable. About staying for a decade or two. And when the church goes to a low time, you're sticking with the body, praying for it. I'm not talking about violating Scripture. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 21. Stick with your church. Become a part of a body. Stand with that body through good times and bad times. And they're going to have bad times. It's a human institution. There's going to be bad days. Stick with it. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there is no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. If you were in Sunday school, you'd know that bride is a bride of Christ, Ephesians 5. And I heard a great voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And that's there where we all become part of one church. Let's just build that church up by soul winning. And win him to Christ. We'll meet him in heaven. And get him into the local church. That's important. But the universal church will matter then, because it won't be a local church. Open Door Baptist Church will be a memory. And the church of the firstborn in heaven, with the perfect pastor, finally, will be there. And we'll be in heaven forever in a church. If you don't like church on earth, you aren't going to like it in heaven. So you better learn to like a local church, because God, yes, has a universal church, and we should get along with all believers and love all believers and be their friends and work together and pray for each other and pray for God to bless them. And if you find a believer at work, you thank God for them, pray with them and encourage them and all those things. But ultimately, make sure you're participating in a local church, which is a manifestation locally of that church, and that's what God uses to reach the world. Understand? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can see this. Now, this is a little deeper, Lord, and there's a lot of Bible in here. And a lot of things, Father, that to learn there, how you blend in several verses we read. I think we read three verses where you blend a local and universal church and talk about their association. I pray, Lord, we would understand that, thank God, we're part of all believers. And even that goes back to David and Abraham and Noah. And Lord, we'll be with all of these believers forever in heaven, and thank you for that. But Lord, you've also given us local churches that we're supposed to participate in and be a part of and pray in and give in and love and all the things you're supposed to do in a local church and gain doctrine. I pray, Lord, that we'd get that and we would be good church members, church body parts, and understand that you have a local church that you work through. And you bless us corporately, so you better be praying for each other. And if we're not right, we're also going to go down corporately. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be right. And I pray you'd help us to have the right relationship with this church that you established. They can make people a publican or a sinner, or make great grace be upon them all. Lord, it's important. So help us have the right relationship in this way. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Just real briefly,